Lord.
So how did it go with Kat? Did you talk to her?
Oh, well.
They got a video. All right.
Laura.
Hey, Lord.
So how did it go with Kat? Did you talk to her?
Oh, well, Lord, not exactly. Well,
did you forgive her?
Well, Lord, I mean, I was just thinking, like, why should I forgive her?
Because I asked you to.
Well, yeah, I know you did, Lord, but why?
Well, you shouldn't have to know why, just that I asked you to do it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. I mean, you don't understand the situation. Kathleen has an attitude problem.
Laura, you believe that I know what is best for you and for Kat?
Well, yeah, Lord.
Then you'll do this.
But, Lord...
This is no different than when I've asked you to do anything else.
Yes, this is, Lord. This is way different.
When I asked you to quit your job, you quit.
Well, of course, Lord, but I didn't like my job, so I was happy to leave, you know? I mean, this is way different. Okay, Lord, you know what? I've got an idea. How about we give it a week and I'll pray about it?
I'll give you my answer now.
But, Lord...
Look, Kat's coming by here very soon.
She's coming by here?
Yes.
Well, let's go.
Now's your chance to talk to her. I want you to forgive
Lord,
her.
Lord, you don't understand.
Hey! Laura, hi. It's been like 2 weeks since we've had coffee.
Oh, it has.
We should totally get together this week.
Oh, wow, I can't do that. I am so busy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about next week?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think it's going to happen for a while.
Oh, well, is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's great.
Uh-huh. All right, I guess I'll just, see you later then.
Bye. Lord, did you hear that attitude?
I thought you were going to forgive her.
I thought you said we could wait a week, Lord.
No, you said that.
Oh, okay, Lord, you're being unreasonable, okay? Why don't you just go talk to Kathleen and have her come to me and ask for my forgiveness?
Laura, you need to obey. I want you to forgive Kat.
But Lord...
Why do you keep calling me Lord? You won't even do what I ask. Laura.
Hey, Lord.
So how did it go with Kat? Did you talk to her?
That's it.
Oh, well, Lord, not exactly. Well,
did you...
That's it. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you got the message of why do you call me Lord? And you're not willing to do what I say. Everybody there? Okay. And we make so many excuses for not being obedient. We make so many allowances for our inconsistencies. We rationalize being sinful. So that's what it is. Anytime we refuse to do what God says, doesn't matter what the circumstances are, when you fail to do what God says, you are sinning. You're not making a mistake, you're sinning. You're disobeying the master. The Master has told us what we ought to be doing and how we ought to be doing it and why we ought to do it and how we ought to go about doing it. And we figure out ways how to finagle around not doing what God says. And then we justify ourselves and we got great reasons for not being faithful. Amen. And I wanted that on your heart as I'm going into the message today. I really intended to play it last week and I forgot to have it played because it really tied in with my lesson on last week of why do you call me Lord and you're not doing what I say. But it's never too late for us to get the concept of what it looks like from a spiritual perspective, when we are making excuses for not being obedient. And those are what they are. They're excuses for not being obedient. We have to understand that there is no excuse that God kept for us to sin. There is no rationale that we can give God where he says, oh, I understand why you sinned. Oh, I understand why you didn't obey me. Oh, that's why you never did what I asked you to do. Got it. You're good. There is no circumstance that you can bring before the Maker and have him to give you a pass for not obeying. There are no passes for anybody. For he that knoweth to do good, when you know what's right, and you doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law, and all sin has to be repented of in order for it to be forgiven. And that's why we don't repent readily, because we don't feel like we were totally wrong in what we're doing. Now, we know what God says we ought to do in relation to forgiveness, in relationship to honoring one another, in relationships to encouraging one another. We understand what God says we ought to be doing. That's never been the issue. The issue is, does this circumstance warrant me giving myself to being totally obedient to God, or is there something else that I need to consider before I really give God total obedience? And whenever we put prerequisites, obedience, I'm going to obey God as long as these circumstances are met. I'm going to obey God as long as these situations are right. However, I reserve the right to not obey under certain conditions. I reserve the right to not obey you, Lord, under certain conditions. We get to determine what those conditions are. And for different circumstances, it's different conditions. And then we convince ourselves that we are right in our conditions because of this circumstance. Because they did this. Because of that or this. Because they said this. Because of this circumstance. Because of these situations. Therefore, I am exempt from having to be totally obedient to you, Lord, in this circumstance. Now, I'm going to be obedient, but this is the one that I am going to abstain from being totally obedient. You do understand? No. There is no understanding. There is absolutely nothing that God looks at when it comes to sin in our lives and says, it's okay. Oh, I'll give you a pass. I do fully understand. Would have done the same thing under the circumstance. No, not God. And then we're going to be held accountable for everything that we do. And when we willfully sin, and by the way, I want to suggest to you that possibly over 90% of the sins that we commit are committed willfully. Because there are not many sins that we commit that we're not aware that we are sinning. Not many at all. It's rare that you do then afterwards recognize, you know, that wasn't right. It's rare. Most of the time, we go in with full knowledge that this is wrong. What I'm about to say, I'll not say. What I'm about to do, I shouldn't even be considering it. However, I'm going to do it. So we do it with the full knowledge that we are violating God's word. Full knowledge. If that's not willful sinning, I don't know what is. And when, as God's children, we persist in willful sinning, doing what we know God doesn't want us to do, but doing it with full knowledge and determined we're going to do it anyway. So when we continue to do that, we live in such a way to where we become a disobedient servant. Usually we do those things because it's not convenient for us to be obedient. It's going to cost us something to be obedient. We may lose something if we're obedient. We're going to be in a bad position if we're obedient. Being obedient is not going to have me in the best light. Therefore, for self-preservation, I am electing to be disobedient. I'm not disobedient to God. I love God. It's just a circumstance. I love the Lord. It's just a situation. And since I am faithful to him most of the time, anyway, then God will be able to, I'll be able to get that taken care of. I know God will see how much I love him anyway. And this won't cost me that much. In fact, it ain't going to cost me anything. I'm going to handle this. And those are the conversations, by the way, that cause us to continue to sin and live in sin, live with sin, and be comfortable in our state because we have figured out how to justify ourselves in our circumstance. Everybody with me? Now, I want to talk this morning then about serving through trials. How do you maintain your servant attitude through trials? Trials are the things that we have to decide that, do I go through this and serve him and endure? Or do I avoid this because of what it may cost me in doing? And I believe that we are called as children of slaves, as servants of God, to learn how to serve him through painful situations and not try to make sure every situation that we're in pleases us or we don't do it. Feels good to us or we don't execute it. Is accommodating towards us or we discard it. We have to learn how to serve God through our trials. Jesus, as the greatest servant that lived on the earth, he came to this earth purposed to just serve his Father. He came with the understanding as he grew, he understood that my existence here is not about me being pleased. My existence is not about me being served. My existence is really not about me being comfortable. My existence is about me serving my Father. Everything that I'm doing is about serving my Father. And so he fixated his heart around living for existing because of, living as a result of, being willing to go through whatever because of his father, because that's why he was here, to serve. In Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse number 21, I want us to look at the process. Jesus has been acknowledged by Peter as being the Christ, the Son of the living God, earlier, just a few moments ago. And Jesus told him that he's blessed. You know, when he started in verse number 13, they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked his disciples, he said, well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say that he was Jeremiah, some say he was Elias, or some say he was one of the prophets. And Jesus said unto them, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal or acknowledge this or reveal this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock a confession that I'm the Christ, I will build my church. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to give unto you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you shall bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you're going to loose on earth is going to be loose in heaven. And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21. And from that time forth, after they knew who he was, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and must suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes. And he must be killed. I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to be raised again the third day. Now, must. Jesus is revealing something that he is being called to do. It's not pretty. When you hear words like that from somebody that you love, somebody that you admire, somebody that you see as your master, and your master is telling you that these are the things that I am about to go through. I'm going to go through these things. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be mistreated. They're going to kill me, but on the third day, I'm going to get up. How do you address that? But first of all, Jesus was acutely aware of what he was to do for the Father. He knew. He wasn't saying, let's not go to Jerusalem, because I know what's down there. You know, there's some folk down there that they're going to mistreat me if I go down there. They're going to really lounge me. They're going to treat me bad. And do you know if I go there, they're going to kill me? They're not going to try, but they're going to kill me. And even though I'm going to get up on the third day, you know, let's go to Caesarea Philippi. Let's just, because I know what's going to happen if I go here. I know what I'm going to endure by going here. and it's not going to be pleasant to me. Therefore, because I don't want to die, and I ain't never done nothing wrong anyway, why should I die? I've never treated anybody wrong. I've never said anything wrong. All I've been trying to do since I've been here is help folk. And do you know what they're planning on doing? And it just ain't fair. So, I'm telling you that to let you know we got to change the plans. Now, Jesus had full knowledge of what unpleasant thing he needed to do, then he was willing to do it. Full knowledge of pleasantries. I believe if you are a child of God and God has given you his spirit, that there are times in our lives when the Spirit nudges us as to what we ought to be doing in this moment. And when the Spirit nudges us, it's clear. You ought to go and apologize. Because you know you didn't say that right. You ought to go and do this. You know you need to go and do X, Y, Z. You know that you need to change your ways. And we have full knowledge of what it is that the Spirit is telling us. That means it's not like it's vague. It's not like it's kind of unclear. It wasn't in Mara's code. It was like deep in your spirit, you know exactly what needs to be done in this moment. You know you need to get out of that bad situation that you're in. And why are you still compromising yourself? You say it's for love? Really? You know you need to change your ways of acting, the things that you have been given a clear, instructive picture as to what your course of action should be. And I believe that God gives all of us instructions like that. Clear, concise. You know you don't need to go over there. Clear. Concise. You know you better not answer that text. Clear. Concise. You know you need to leave that job. Clear. Concise. And then, once we get that clear picture, verse 22, then the Bible says, then Peter took him, and Peter began to rebuke him. What are you talking about? Going where? And they gonna do what? To you? Be it far from you, Lord. Not while I got breath in my body. They ain't gonna do you wrong. Not while I got power. They not gonna kill over my dead body. Oh, I go to war for you. Why are you saying those kind of of things. You see, when Alma, you know what the Spirit is telling you, the devil will always bring somebody around you to counter the tough message that you reveal. And usually, when we're struggling, we tell somebody what we're considering. Why are you considering it? Because God, I'm just being nudged this way. And when we are not sure about doing what God is acknowledging and pushing us to do, we start talking to folk. We tell somebody, you know what, I'm thinking about quitting. What? Man, if you lost your mind, you're going to do what? You better. But if it's the thing that God is saying to you to do, and you get validation against it, and you take those words to disregard the Spirit's call. Jesus, when he heard Peter, he didn't hear a friend. He didn't hear a brother. He didn't hear someone that really had his best interest at heart. He heard someone that was contradicting his father. And whomever is contradicting his father, for whatever reason, is wrong. So Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why are you trying to convince me not to do what's the will of my Father? Why are you trying to get me to compromise? I know this is tough, but you ain't making it better by telling me I'll not do it. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. You're offending me right now because you are encouraging me to go against my Father. Don't you understand? This is why I'm here. My Father has placed me in this situation. I'm this. For you, watch this, savorest not the things that be of God. Wait a minute. Now, you are interested in those things that be about men. I need to talk about this for a moment. There are actions that we do and engage in that have absolutely nothing to do with humankind at all. Has nothing to do with self-preservation. Has nothing to do with protecting your best interests. There are things that you and I have to do that are solely, purely spiritual. Have nothing to do with this world at all. And we are called, you and I, to when the time comes, to do the total spiritual thing. We are called to make the decision to do what God tells us to do in the moment without hesitation, without reservation, without compromise, to totally give in to what God is moving us to do, no matter what it costs us, because it's a spiritual matter. And whenever you're doing the will of God, the Spirit, what God is beckoning you for the right reason, with the right motive, with the right intent in mind, it can never be wrong. Now, there are a lot of things that God requires of us as children that are just not easy. They just ain't easy. But we still require. There are things that God is asking of us that require us to sacrifice. In fact, most of the things that God asks of us require for us to sacrifice ourselves. Jesus says in verse number 24, as a result of this conversation, Jesus says to the disciples, if any man will come after me to follow after spiritual things, let him deny himself. Now, in order for us to do what God's Spirit is beckoning us to do all of the time, it can never be done until we get comfortable with the notion of self-denial. Denying me. Now, it was probably seen as being something that, what Peter said would be seen as something that, well, I can see why Peter would say that. I mean, after all, that's his Lord and Master. He's been following him for some time. And you, the human, the man, the interest of man, to be interested in what's in my best interest, to be interested in what benefits me, it just seems logical that you'd want to do whatever's necessary to maintain relationships that you want to keep. And anything that's going to break that knowingly. I mean, you're telling me up front you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to be mistreated, you got to be killed, and you're telling me this, and you mean you're going? Ain't making no sense. Why you going to go and you know? Because it's obeying my Father. Well, what kind of father is that? Ask his son to do this. Well, the kind of father that loves everybody. And he loves them enough to allow his son to sacrifice. So denying the pleasures of life, let him first deny himself. Take up your cross, as you are executing the will of God, it's going to be a burden for you to carry, for you to execute what God has put on your heart that you need to do to be in my will right now. You need to obey me, but it's going to cost you something. Then you got to pick up your cross and carry it while you are obeying what it is that God is pushing you to do, to be, to act, to say in that moment. And that costs something. It's never comfortable to go to somebody to tell them that they've mistreated you. That doesn't ever feel good. Never. What are they going to say? How they going to respond? What they going to think about me? You know, are we going to be the same? Will it change us? You know, I mean, now I know what God says and I know what I'm feeling, but the price for being obedient may be greater harm to our earthly relationship. So therefore, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of men. And I'm going to not do what's in the spiritual's interest, the kingdom's interest. I'm not going to do it because men will be impacted like this. Men will be affected like that. Therefore, I'm not going to do what I know ought to be done because I value what is in the men's best interest more than what's in God's best interest. Now, rarely are we confronted with an understanding of this notion. Rarely are we confronted with the reality of what we're really doing. And I know right now I'm bringing you in direct confrontation with the will and word of God, and you're having to consider some things now that you don't like to consider, such as, do I do what's right toward God? I do what I do what's right towards my brother. If doing what's right towards God puts me at odds with my brother, and I value my relationship with my brother more than I value doing what's right for God, then we haven't learned what self-denial is. And Jesus is saying to us loud and clear, you cannot be my disciple because you do not love me more than you love me. Am I helping anybody? Now watch this, watch this, watch the concept. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What do you mean? Whenever you put your best interests, your well-being, your satisfaction, your comfort ahead of obeying the will and word of God, then you saved your life, but you just lost it because you love you more and you love your master. And when push come to shove, you're going to protect you before you obey him. Everybody with me? And whosoever will lose his life. Men may not always understand you. Men may not always feel good and speak kind of you. But when you know you are operating in the realm of, but I'm doing what I know God is calling me to do, then I may lose status I may lose position. I might even lose some money. Might lose a little. But I'm going to save my soul. And saving my soul is more important than the temporary stuff that we think is important. How long will you have the relationship that you have? So you sacrifice relationship with God for a 15-year relationship, for a 20-year relationship, for a 30-year relationship, and sacrifice eternity for 30 years. But they were some good 30 years. I felt good all them 30 years. I was well taken care of during the 30 years. But then you spend eternity because you operated in the spirit of, let me save myself, versus let me be obedient to God. So you got to learn how to serve through your trials. Serving God comes with a price. It comes with a price. It's going to cost you something to be faithful to God. Everybody gonna pay a price. You cannot be faithful to God and not pay a price. If you're not paying any price, let me suggest to you, you're not being that faithful. Because being faithful to God always costs some. It always costs some. For what Jesus says, is a man profited? Now watch this. How do you win? This is the rationale you need to understand. How you win? If you don't deny yourself and gain everything that's in your best interest. Everything works out for you. Everything protects you. Everything makes sure you are set up right. Everything is done to make sure you are always comfortable. You go out of here on top. Yeah, you go out on top. Everybody talks about how much you have and what you did. But you know how you did it and how you had to manipulate to do it. So what is it profit? If you gain human comfort, human pleasure, human benefit, We operate on human comfort, human benefit. It's in my interest. I'm going to protect my interest. And what does it profit you? If you do a good job at that, and then because you had to do it by going against the spirit that told you long time ago, you're wrong. Yes, sir. And instead of you saying, yes, Lord, I'm wrong, you figured out how you listened to a Peter. Because you had to tell somebody. Because it was troubling you. Whenever the Spirit nudges us in an area that gonna cost us something, man, it does something to our inside. We don't rest well. So we need to talk to somebody. You know, this is what I'm thinking about. Well, why are you thinking about it? Because the Spirit is nudging me. Spirit's nudging me. And then Peter said, oh, no, don't you do that. Oh, that's too much cost. It costs you too much. You've been too faithful too long. Don't you do that. And you don't listen to the Spirit's nudging. So you gain what you want, but you lose your soul. The loss of your soul is the greatest loss any person will ever experience. Losing your soul. You know, I've been evicted out of apartments because I couldn't pay on time. And had to move, you know. I've had cars confiscated or repossessed because I wasn't making the payments on time. And I never got them back. Lost them. I've lost my car. My Lexus is gone. Lord have mercy. I missed that car, but it's gone. And it ain't coming back. And it was paid for. Just put new tires on that thing. Gone. It's gone. You can lose your house to fire. You might even be evicted out of it. Lost it. You can lose a leg because you got diabetes. And your circulation is not good. And they got to chop off part of your foot. So you're limping the rest of your life. You can lose a lung because one of them are infected with disease. You can lose a kidney and have to go to a machine just for them to circulate your blood and get the filtering properties out of your body. But when you lose your soul, when you lose your soul, because you weren't willing to give up some, that's what it amounts to. Not being willing to give up some. And it may not be wrong in and of itself. There was nothing wrong with Peter saying, Lord, you are not, we're going to protect you. Lord, we're going to take care of you. Lord, it's not going to be so. Wasn't nothing wrong with that. But it was going against, in and of itself, but it was going against the will of God. Anything that you do that goes against the will of God and you take it and it is a benefit in you, then you are committed to obeying man more than God. Or you're loving yourself more than you love the Lord. Now, if you lose your soul, when it goes back to God, will give a true representation of who you really are. Not what you did, but what was in your heart. It will have records of every time the Spirit nudged you to go right and you chose to go left, it'll be documented. So when the soul goes back to God, it will be the true essence of who you are as it relates to being obedient to your father. The record of your soul will speak for you. And won't nobody else be able to stand. Mama ain't gonna be able to say, but my baby. Daddy ain't gonna be able to say, well, I'll stand for it. No, you can't. No friend, no brother, no relative, nobody's gonna be able to stand. And once you give an account of your soul, Jesus said, what are you gonna exchange for saving your soul? What comfort? You mean you're going to not allow yourself to be dismayed in an inconvenient way to go and talk to somebody that you know you need to talk to tell them, you know what, I feel offended. But instead, you're going to harbor that in your heart, disregard the will and word of God, not do the tough thing, and take care of yourself. You don't deny yourself the feeling in order for you to say, and by the way, we use the phrase, well, it don't bother me. And every time you see him, you just eat up with it. And you lie to you, it don't bother me. It ain't bother me. It is by you lying. You're lying. It's bothering you because you're still talking about it. It's been 3 years. You're still talking about it. You're still tired. It's about, and you won't do what God says. But it's tough. Yeah. Well, I ain't never done it before. Now, that's the truth. Now, that's the truth. I've never sacrificed to obey God before. Now, that's the truth. I've never sacrificed for you, Lord. I've always taken the easy way out. Really? If that's the truth, then how you think that's going to fare with him? Go to heaven taking the easy road. It won't work. You got to do, you're going to get your life dirty through obeying God one way or the other. Everybody does. Listen, last verse, and I'm going to let you go. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father. One of these days, and it may not be very long. We don't know. But Jesus is coming back with the glory of his Father and with his angels. And when he comes back, he's going to reward every person according to your spiritual work or your carnal work. You're going to be rewarded. Either you're going to reap joys of heaven, or you took the easy way out and you're going to hear something you don't want to hear. Yeah. Thou wicked servant, you never sacrificed for me. You protected your interests all the days of your life. You took the easy way out in Christianity. You never made a sacrifice for me. You never committed yourself to me. You never gave up anything for me. Everything that came at you, you always figured out how to compromise and made it okay. Now you got to pay. And you did it with full knowledge because the Spirit has told you what you ought to be doing. Now, what has the Spirit told you that you ought to do or not do that you have become comfortable in disregarding, thinking I'm a good person and it's going to be okay? and you're trying to stack as many good things on this side to make you feel good about being disobedient in this area. And you haven't learned how to deny yourself. Self-denial. And it's going to cost you some. Yeah, you're going to lose your pride. See, pride gets in the way of a whole lot of folk not being obedient. Well, you know, what would people think if I do what God says? Well, they're going to think you're a child of God. That's what they're going to do. That's all. They're going to think you're a real child of God. Well, what's this going to do to me? Well, I don't know how it's going to play out, but I do know this. When you're faithful to God, God will always bless you in the end. You never lose doing it God's way. I don't care. You never lose doing it God's way. So if you're here this morning and you haven't learned how to serve God through the trial of obedience, it's a trial. It tests everybody to be obedient. Everybody. It tests everybody to be obedient. Because you got to give up some. And every time the Spirit tells you, you don't. And you know you really won't. But you heard the Spirit. And you're toying with, you know, do I be obedient? You know, man, this is going to send me through some changes. Got to change my thinking. Got to change the way I do things. May even change my lifestyle. Yeah, you might. But if you choose comfort of this world over obedient to God, then your soul is in jeopardy. Yes. And every time you make that type of decision for yourself, it's easier to make the next one and the next one. Until you have a lifestyle full of compromise, you don't even know when you turn down that road. It started the first time you didn't do what he said. And the continuous of not doing it has led you to the place that you are right now. How do I get out? It starts by acknowledging where you are. It starts by saying to your Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against you, Lord. I've repented and changed my mind. Forgive me and help me to do what I need to do. That's where it starts. And to the church, don't leave here knowing you're more comfortable with men than you are with God. Don't leave here. Not today. Don't leave here. Do something about it. Because you can. You got the will. Use it. Don't count the cost of what you're going to have to pay by doing the will of God. Count the cost of what it's going to cost you by not doing it. What is it going to cost you by... Because if God ever hardens your heart, because you've been disobedient so long that he says, okay, I'm going to see you at the place. And your heart is hard. Now the Spirit doesn't even trouble you anymore. No more acknowledgement. No more thinking of your heart. No more conscience troubling you. You good. Feeling sleeping good and going straight to hell. Because your conscience has been seared by God. Because you have been hard-hardened for so long that God's gotten tired of it. And he's gotten tired of you. Whoever you are, if you're not a member of the body of Christ,